Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. RiftAccounting.com.
JobsInKent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, JobsInKent.com.
Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. SupplyMyBusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on KentBusinessRadio.co.uk and ChannelRadio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 8th of November, with me, Paul Andrews, and the lovely Sarah Ann Lucas.
Thank you very much. Yes, it's great being here on this side, not the other side.
We're having fun, aren't we?
I love it. Yeah,
yeah, it's just like great guests and really interesting conversation. Really
we
good
could,
stuff.
We could talk to them for hours.
Hours and hours and hours. And absolutely. Really good stuff. Yeah, yeah. No, it's fascinating stuff. And it's really interesting because you learn so much talking to people, you know, and I just think it's brilliant. I don't understand why people don't listen to things like that.
I don't know how they thought it was going to be boring.
Yeah.
Who said that?
I don't know.
No.
I'm not. I won't rat on them. They know who they were.
Darren knows as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, Darren knows as well.
He knows. Yeah. He sat there quiet.
He knows, yeah. We've still got loads and loads of tweets coming in. We've still got loads and loads of emails to read.
What are we going to do?
Absolutely. We're going to cover the FSB news later in the show after we talk to Darren as well. I'll read another couple of tweets. We've had a tweet from Athel Bray. That's A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E, Athelbray Limited. They say, Vanillaware Business Bunker, can we have a shout-out, please? We have a couple of places on a new manager's programme. Funnily enough, we were just talking about leadership. A new manager's programme starting on the 17th of November, and it's taking place at a hotel at Brands Hatch Place. If you want a book, you can follow Athelbray on the Twitter. Their Twitter handle is Athelbray Limited, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D is their Twitter handle. Or you can, in fact, call them on 01892 832 059. That's 01892 832 059 to book your place on a management program that's commencing on the 17th of November.
Wow.
What have you got, Bird?
Well, I've got loads and loads of emails, which is always great. So I've got November East Kent Women in Business meeting on Thursday, the 7th of November, from 10 a.m. till 12 noon. And that's at Faversham Guildhall, so Marketplace in Faversham. It's free for East Kent Women in Business members and £10 per person, if not. So get yourself along. So how to book? Tracy@virtuallyorganised.com. I'm going to fly through some of these. So we've got a four-week business startup course in Maidstone. Love that idea. Four workshops, 4 weeks covering all the basics, starting a business, including why start, how marketing and presenting. And really, that's two. All workshops are being held in the heart of Maidstone, which is great. So that would be www.businessinmaidstone.co.uk/events.
Fantastic. Of course, we've mentioned it a couple of times now, but it's going to be a big, big, big event. And it's a new event for Kent, which is Grow Kent. It's taking place on Wednesday, the 30th of November, from 8:30 until 5. There's a massive lineup of speakers. It's Tim Lamscombe, Barnaby Winter, Alison Edgar, Warren Knight, Mark Rhodes and Steve Clark. Quite a few of those have been on the Bunker Show over the last few years. All brilliant speakers, all talking about lots of things. There's going to be workshops. There's going to be one-to-one clinics. It's a fantastic event. It's a brand new event for Kent. It's taking place at the Ashford International Hotel on the 30th of November. Yeah. And it is a measly, paltry, pathetic £27 to come. You can't ask for more than that, can you?
That isn't breakfast included, is it?
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. So there's everything's included. Just, you know, get along there.
How can you? You can't not go.
You can't not go. It's going to be a massively big event. So do come along. That's Grow Kent. And you can find out all the details and book your place if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk website and click on the business event tab.
Yeah.
It's right there in front of you. You can click through that. You can book your tickets. You can find out more about the speakers and what they're speaking about and the workshops and all the rest of it.
I've got another amazing event.
Have you?
Yeah, it is. You're invited to join us at the Unconference 2016.
It's a good job you've invited me because I'm chairing it.
Well, how funny. How was I to know?
Exactly.
I to know.
Are you not speaking at it?
No, you haven't asked me. I'd love to.
It's an unconference.
Oh, I can just turn up then, can't I?
You can, yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
That'd be awesome. Nettie would just love me, like, Bird, get off the stage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Can I sing? Can I do anything? What can I do? So what do they do? Tell us about the unconference.
Well, it's interesting. It's the second one. We ran the first one last year. It's supported by Canterbury City Council and the Start My Business, which is a division of Canterbury City Council. The whole idea behind an on-conference, they came out of the TEDx talks, and a lot of people doing TEDx talks were going, do you know what, it's getting a bit salesy, you know, people just come along and do a sales pitch and all the rest of it. We don't particularly want that.
Yeah.
But also, by the same token, you know, people wouldn't come. You'd advertise what it was about, and people go, it's really like we were talking about earlier. If you advertise a talk, you know, like I'm manufacturing, people go, I'm not in manufacturing, I'm not coming to that. That's dumb. That's really dumb because you don't learn anything.
Yeah.
So the whole idea behind an unconference is we're not going to tell you what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what my we were talking about in my talk earlier.
Yeah.
It's to grab people's attention. Yeah. It's to say, of course we're not going to talk about that. It's to make somebody excited about it and go, okay, now I get it. It gets them into their visceral system.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
We're not
talking about underwear. I'm not coming in. that's a con.
So it says here, why attend the unconference? So we think this is a great way to build new connections. So we've got a bit of networking going on. It's unlike traditional conferences. So when is it? It's November the 17th from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. at Canterbury Cathedral Lodge in Canterbury. Get onto Eventbrite, the Unconference 2016. Get over there.
Absolutely. If you can't remember the Eventbrite thing, you can book it through the Kent Business Radio website as well. If you go into the Kent Business Radio website, there's a tab for Rift Accounting, and there is a link on there to the booking page for the unconference, because the unconference is sponsored and supported by the Business Bunker, Rift Accounting, and Start My Business.
Awesome.
The Wealden Times magazine moves its festive shopping event to the Hop Farm. And it's taking place from the 17th to the 19th of November, and it's the Southeast's largest and most prestigious Christmas shopping event, Wealden Times Midwinter Fair, and it will be at the Hop Farm Paddockwood. The Midwinter Fair has really raised the bar when it comes to Christmas shopping, attracting standholders, selling high-end gifts, homeware, fashion and food that rival any of the big London stores. A tented village bird of 7 heated linked marquees.
Yeah.
This is not messing about stuff, yeah? This isn't your farmer's market in a field job, this. It's 7 heated linked marquees with hand-picked collection of the finest producers, makers, designers and artisans, saving you countless Christmas shopping trips and online searches. That's the Wealden Times Midwinter Fair at the Hop Farm Paddockwood in Kent on Thursday the 17th, Friday the 18th, Saturday the 19th of November, 9 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. And you can book your tickets at wealdentimes.co.uk.
It's getting that time of year now where we're going to start to mention Christmas, isn't it? And that links in beautifully. So there's three things that always remind me of Christmas. First thing is children in need, which we're going to talk about because that always comes up in the middle of November, doesn't it?
It does.
John Lewis. Did you know the John Lewis advert is out on Friday? The Christmas advert is out on Friday?
Blimey.
It's massive. Are you excited? Men?
I did see a thing that made me smile that said there are 12 days of Christmas and none of them are in November.
And then, of course, you've got to always play Elf, haven't you?
Yeah.
You know, you've always got to play the movie Elf. Have you seen
exactly.
it?
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? Santa, I know him.
I tell you what I heard of. I haven't watched it yet, but somebody recommended it to me. It was a Christmas movie that nobody's heard of called Fred Claus. Have you heard
it's
of it?
It's awesome movie.
Is it good?
Yeah. I'll think of who's the lead part
Vince
in it.
Vince Vaughn, isn't it?
You're right, Dan. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is it good? Have you seen it?
It's great. You'd love it.
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it'd be great. So this is a wonderful, wonderful email, and it's really touched my heart. So this is to sponsor my swim relay team for Children in Need 2016. It says, hi, Paul and Jules. That's okay. You'll be forgiven. I'm delighted and rather proud to announce that my family will be one of 39 teams participating in the Maidstone Swim Relay 2016 fundraiser for the BBC Children in Need. So my husband and our two sons will be joining me swimming as many lengths as possible in 30 minutes, and that's in Maidstone Leisure Centre in Moat Park. How amazing is that? It goes on to say, I mean, it's a wonderful email. So thanks, Helen Grant. Oh, that's best Helen Grant MP.
Yeah, she's the Maidstone MP. Yeah.
Amazing. How wonderful is that to bring... See, that just touches my heart because that's what I believe is when you inspire your family to be the best they can be. So well done, Helen. That's awesome.
Cool. Cool. We're going to talk to our next guest in just a moment. I've got two or three tweets I'm just going to read. We've had a tweet from Amanda Flanders.
Beautiful.
And she says, hello, Vanilla Web, I've made it home. So she found her way out of the wilderness. So that's
cool.
She
was left.
Yeah. She turned left when she got home. I told you would. Yeah. We've had a tweet from Bente Rayfield, and she says, Vanilla Web, Business Market, great program today. Loving the choice of music. Just preparing for my son's 12th birthday dinner tonight. But a really fascinating guest, too. So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And RAP Interiors, RAP underscore interiors on the Twitter. How can your office interiors help set the right first impression? Find out by reading our latest blog, and you can do that by following them on the Twitter and following the link to their blog.
Cool.
It's an absolute pleasure now to welcome for the first time onto the Business Bunker Show our second guest of the day, Mr. Darren George of Equinox 3D. Darren, welcome.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Thank you so much for joining us. You've got a really interesting background and you do really interesting stuff, and we're carrying on this theme of engineering and manufacturing. You're an engineer, without any shadow of a doubt, really. You can tell because he's got greasy hands. No.
I have come from directly from the workshop where we were making something this morning.
So were
it was
you?
A quick...
Cool. You've been involved in a number of areas of manufacturing and engineering as well, and I want to kind of explore a few of them just because they're interesting as much as anything. But back in the day, you were a Formula One, F1, as Bird says, designer. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. My family were involved in motorsport since way before I was born.
Right.
So it's something that I couldn't really escape.
It's one of those things, isn't it? It kind of gets in your blood as well, and you, it's really difficult to get out of, yeah.
And I've got pictures of my mother at a racetrack with me, pregnant with me. So I couldn't... My granddad was heavily involved as an engineer.
Right.
All part-time, but it was in international sports car racing.
Sure.
So it was all amateur stuff, but it kind of on a big level.
Absolutely.
And when that came to choosing school options for what to study, it was kind of like, what do I want to do? Well, I only know racing. It's the only thing that interests me.
Right.
So I wanted to be a mechanic. I thought, I'll be a Formula One mechanic.
Mm.
But my granddad, being a mechanic, said, no, you can do better than that. You should be a designer.
Right.
So from that moment on, it was kind of like, what's that involved? And when you look at that time in the mid-80s, when I was looking at what people were involved in, it was kind of like, wow, this is really interesting. There's new technologies all the time, new materials.
Yeah.
And my granddad, being an ex RAF mechanic, he was like, it's the only field you'll ever be involved with that's like warfare. He said, where you sort of, as a competitive nature,
you have
to develop. You cannot be the same as you were the last race.
Yeah.
Everything has to move on at any cost, sort of thing. And as a young person, you think, oh, that's really exciting. So when I eventually made my way there, you realise the level of technology and the way that they work as a team and the way that you turn things around really quickly was really interesting. And something Tom said earlier about, it's exciting being involved in manufacturing, but when I was in my first ever job, when I did my first ever sort of commercial design drawing, and the following morning it was on my desk for me to hold in my hands, it was kind of like, oh, wow, this is just incredible.
Amazing, yeah.
And that doesn't leave you, especially if you're working in these dynamic industries where you do see the fruits of your labour come and put in your hand very quickly.
Yeah.
And that does... That really still inspires me.
Absolutely. It's a fascinating industry, isn't it, motorsport, because it's akin to aerospace, and the technology is unbelievable. You know, because we had a quick conversation about this. I used to own a motor racing team back in the late 80s, and we were racing Formula 3. I had a Dallara originally. But I went to the March factory, if you remember March, ostensibly to buy an F3000 car. And while I was there... they were showing me round what they were doing, and they were building Indy cars for the Penske race team.
Yes.
And they just finished baking a tub out of Kevlar. And the guy said to me, I'll pick that up and bring it over here. I'm like, what are you talking about? He went, no, bring it over. Like, it's a whole tub of a racing car. It's only me. He went, go on. And I went over it, expecting it to be really heavy. And I went like that, nearly threw it over my head. I could literally pick it up in my hands. It was so light. And he said, but the torsional strength of it is just unbelievable. And that was one of the very first composite tubs I'd ever seen, because up until then, all of our tubs were just space frames with aluminium in and stuff like that. So, yeah, you know, working in that industry is absolutely leading edge, state of the art stuff. And as you say, it's so highly competitive that, you know, you can't rest on your laurels.
No, you can't.
You know, it's one thing after another, isn't it? We had a we won the British Championship actually with that Reynard, and then we went on and we got the first F3 Dallara in the UK. They'd never raced here before. Ours was a second-hand one, we couldn't make it work. We really couldn't make it work. And we were support race to the British Grand Prix, 1991 British Grand Prix at Silverstone, which was won by Mansell. But we were in the paddock, and we couldn't make this car work. And I was shouting and swearing. And this guy walked past me, and he went, what's the matter? Because I'm going, bloody car. And he walked past, and he came back, and he went, that's a Dallara. And I went, yeah, and it's a heaper. And he went, nah. I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Mr. Dallara. He said, I designed that. And I said, well, it don't work. And he said, well, it wouldn't. He said, whoever sold that to you, the front rack is 18 inches too short. He said, I'll send you the jigs. And on the following Monday after the Grand Prix, he faxed through all the jigs, and we had got a new front end made. And then we raced that car, and we did 17 races, and we got 17 fastest laps, 17 pole positions, and 17 wins. And won a championship with it, and then retired because he couldn't do anything more after that. But fascinating business to be in. And I think I'm right in saying that you actually still are involved in building cars, are you not?
Yeah, part of my business is to make replica sports racing cars from the 60s.
Yeah, he just knocks out cars as a bit of a sideline, really.
Yeah, so we make a GT40 replica.
Right, okay. That's the Ford GT40 would be a top of the car. And you were doing something with Reynard cars as well for a little while, making kind of kit cars.
Yeah, Adrian Reynard is a really big supporter of students getting involved in engineering.
Yeah.
And he designed, for his own racing purposes, just for a bit of fun, he designed a motorcycle engine car with the only design brief was that it should generate enough downforce to be able to drive on the roof of a tunnel.
Because as you would.
Yeah.
Upside down, that is. Yeah.
Because he sees that aero development is part and parcel of motorsport, and for students to be involved and learn that side of things is very important to him. So he produced this car, and he gave the design away to people. He just put it up on GrabCAD online. There wasn't enough take-up of the design because it basically relied on people making everything from scratch, including their own bucks for bodywork. Hmm. And because that's the kind of thing I do with the GT40 side of business, I said to him, well, why don't we offer it in such a way that people can make the bits that they feel comfortable making, but they can also buy the other parts.
Kind of bit like Meccano kind of thing. Yeah.
And he sort of signed up to that. So that's what we do. We're there primarily to support people to build that car, to learn those skills in their own garage.
Fantastic. And then drive it upside down in tunnels.
Upside down if they wish, yeah.
Sweet. No, that's really cool. And your main business, let's kind of focus on that. You've produced a couple of things here just for us, some fun items. We've got an adjustable spanner, and we've also got a plastic doodad that has our business bunker hashtag on it, which is really fabulous. Sorry, can you see them? Which Darren knocked out this morning for us just to bring along. So tell us about Equinox 3D and what you're doing there.
Well, because I'm a designer, what you find in Formula One and in sort of advanced engineering companies is the more of the design and manufacturing you can have in-house, the more you can push the boundaries of each element. Obviously, being a designer, having the opportunity or the equipment to make things was really important. I was doing a lot of work with a company, Equinox Products, that make glass fibre mouldings for racing cars, but also for the amusement machine industry. So we make figurines that go on top
I've seen some of them, like machines. Big rabbits and stuff like that.
So this year we've done Tom and Jerry.
Right.
They are funny products, if you like.
Yeah.
But they're also incredibly complex shapes.
Right.
So very difficult to make. So Equinox 3D is a design and development company that makes complex things.
Right.
Specifically complex shapes.
Right.
In any material, but obviously we are a fiberglass moulder. We also have carbon composite.
Right. What are these made out of, Darren?
So they're plastic and they're 3D printed.
Right.
So one of the technologies we brought in was a commercial 3D printer.
Right.
And actually Tom and Jerry were 3D printed because they're such complex shapes.
Right.
3D printing lends itself really well to...
Okay. If you don't mind, we'll have a number of listeners out there. I think everyone would have heard of 3D printing, but I'm not sure everyone really understands exactly what it is or how it works. Could you give us an overview without being too technical?
It's one easy way to understand the sort of fundamentals of it is if you took a tube of toothpaste and drew a profile.
Yeah.
And then drew another profile on top of it, you're building up a 3D structure.
Yeah, okay.
And essentially the 3D printer, what it does is it takes a hot extruder, a cord of plastic, extrudes out a very thin bead of it, and just like the toothpaste example, it draws a profile,
right.
And then it moves up slightly, draws another profile on top to build a complex 3D shape.
Okay.
Our printer has two nozzles.
Right.
Prints the model in ABS plastic, and it prints what they call a support structure in a dissolvable material, so that your doesn't matter what the shape is. For example, Jerry Mouse is obviously he's running,
right.
So there's lots of parts of Jerry that are unsupported, and you'd have to print in midair.
I see.
But it builds this support structure to hold, so everything's got a layer to print on.
Right.
And you just dissolve away the support structure and get left with your bit.
Look, we're gagging to ask which question now. We're like,
yeah.
I love it. I just want to know, just to give us a bit of help, Darren. So these two things that you printed, can you just hold them up, Paul?
Yeah.
How long did they take to print on your 3D printer? So to give us some idea.
I made three spanners and the Business Bunker logo in that took 8 hours.
Okay, so here's my question. What would be the benefit of doing it 3D rather than just manufacturing that?
Several. 3D printing is... one use of 3D printing is for rapid prototyping. So, for example, if you designed that spanner and you wanted to know how it felt in your hand, a couple of hours later you could have something in your hand and you could see how it's operating, you could see whether you like the feel of it.
Yeah.
You could, for a lot of inventors, you could then take that to potential investors, or you could take it to your IP attorney and really get some
interest
in there.
Yeah.
In order to make one in the final material, you're probably talking about months and tens, if not hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of investment in tooling to make it, whereas that is your item and you can do a lot of development work on it prior to spending the so much on tooling.
Interesting. Yeah.
What I'd like to ask, because clearly it seems to me with this that what you've got here and your description of the nozzles and the extruded plastic makes total sense, obviously. Obviously, you've got to tell it what to extrude into the pattern. And I assume that's the clever bit of what you're doing, is that you've got to make some kind of computer program that says, make a spanner.
That's the interesting and expensive part of the equipment, is the program that takes your... You have to have a CAD model, essentially.
Right, okay. That's a computer-aided design model.
Yes.
Yeah.
So in any manufacturing, you'll have a design. Usually, typically, it'd be a 3D CAD model.
Yeah.
The 3D printer can take that CAD model and write the program to produce it.
Okay.
And the key part about our machine, which is why it's £40,000 and not £2,000, is the software gives you sort of ultimate control over well, every aspect of every layer of the print.
Right, okay. So basically, you make a model.
Yep.
You show it to the printer, and the printer goes, got it.
Yep.
And then it starts to extrude plastic, and you can control that extrusion process through the printer.
Yep.
Until you come up with a product that is either used as a prototype, or it could just be a product. You could just make products, yes. Obviously. And some people do,
yeah.
Just make products. I visited a while back a manufacturing company in Ramsgate called Flambeau, and they make rubber doodads. Sorry, guys. but they started to heavily use 3D printing to make Wellington boots and buckets and, you know, seaside spades, you know, plastic spades and stuff like that. The kind of products that have been made for years and years and years in plastics factory, but now they're doing it 3D printing much easier and quicker. But as you say, one of the top-end applications of this is prototyping, you know, what will be much more expensive to produce and much more complex products.
That's great, yeah.
Yeah. So from your point of view, Darren, as a business, you make Tom and Jerry.
Yes.
and amusement arcade type stuff. And although that sounds frivolous, it is actually very complex stuff, isn't it?
It's exceptionally difficult to make the original.
Yeah.
And moulding them afterwards in a production run is relatively straightforward.
Right.
But yes, making the original shape.
And presumably they don't want hundreds of them. There's, you know, only a few that you're actually going to make on a production run.
Yeah, I mean, Tom and Jerry was 70, which is pretty big, really.
Right.
But things like 3D printing lends itself to being able to create small volumes of finished parts that otherwise would require very expensive tooling.
Absolutely.
And lend itself more to the tens of thousands.
Yeah, I think that's one of the beauties of it, isn't it? Is that you can make complex products in short runs, which normally you couldn't do before because the complexity made it too expensive to make it viable to run the short run. And funnily enough, it's coming back to what we were talking with Tom and Bird about earlier, about being small and local, and this change. The technology has enabled us to do things, you know, in my business, in digital, we call it the long tail, where you can knock out a small amount of things, but you can sell them because there's someone in the world that wants them. So, you know, a market for 70 Tom and Jerry's that is a very complex product 30 years ago couldn't really have been done economically, but now it can.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So it's a really fascinating thing. So where are you based, Darren?
Between Faversham and Whitstable.
Okay. Okay, and you've got a manufacturing plant there, and is it just 3D printing you do? No, you do fiberglass as well, you said, didn't you?
Well, the other side of the business that kind of spawned doing the 3D engineering is a fiberglass production company.
Right.
But the 3D engineering side of things is a design reverse engineering. We do 3D scanning, for example, so we can take historic items and capture the data. We can then recreate those.
Okay.
We can modify them and recreate and make something based around
like making dinosaurs.
We did from
Jurassic Park.
We did dinosaurs a couple of years ago, actually.
Really?
We 3D printed those as well. But actually, Maidstone Museum are doing an interesting project along the same lines. They've scanned their mummy,
right,
and are 3D printing the bones,
right?
Like,
yeah.
So that school children can see.
Yeah.
And they're making the 3D models available online.
See, that's fascinating, isn't it? Isn't that a fascinating thing that you can do with this kind of technology? And it's one of those fascinating things about engineering, how clever it is that you can do something like that, you know, like take a Diplodocus skeleton or, you know, something and print an exact replica of it so that people can mess about with it without destroying the original thing. I just find that absolutely brilliant.
One of the really interesting things I saw on Twitter, actually, and it's linked to the medical side of things, where surgeons with complex breaks are using CT scans of the break, 3D printing the bones, fixing them outside of the body, so making up all their little plates and screws and everything they need to fix the bone.
Right. Okay.
Then going in, opening the patient up, and fitting them. And sewing them back up.
Beautiful.
Wow.
So they're shortening the amount of time in theatre.
Darren, where do you see the future? I mean, we're talking about this just before coming on air. And I get excited with what's happening in the world with virtual reality, and we hear about this all the time. And obviously this 3D copying is just amazing. Where do you see the future of it? Because you were saying to me it hasn't... I said, wow, this is the... It's got such energy. And you went, well, they've been saying that for 25 years. Where do you see the industry going?
We went and did went to an exhibition last week, an advanced engineering exhibition, and every year it just blows your mind where things are going. I think we briefly spoke about had a VR headset where they were training aircraft mechanics to work inside of wings before the design's even signed off.
Yeah.
So they're able to take people and put them inside a wing, figure out whether or not they can actually service items that are in the wing before they've even made one. I think that's incredible.
Mm.
But with every new development comes hundreds of more developments.
Yeah, for sure.
And to try to predict where it's going, all you know is it's going to be amazing, and all you know is that where you think it's going to be now is not where it's going to be in 10 years' time. It's just...
Absolutely.
It is scary because... You think back across your lifetime and you see the very rapid pace of development, but you know that that is nothing in comparison to where it's going.
Yeah.
I know. It really is scary. And being someone as old as me and working in IT, you really do feel that. When I first started in IT in 1970, I was one of the first telecoms engineers in networking, and we had a fabulous device. It was so state-of-the-art. We had an acoustic coupler that enabled you to communicate at 300 bits per second, and we used to think, whoa, you know. Whoa. Yeah. And, you know, 40 years later, that's just a museum piece, and, you know, technology has just...
Yeah, I remember when I was doing my apprenticeship in electronics, all our first designs were valves.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, valve amplifiers and things like this. Yeah. And now, you know, the size of these devices now are so small.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? And as you said, you've got a scanner that has to look at them because you can't see them down.
Absolutely,
things.
They're so small. They're so small you can't see them with a naked eye.
Exactly.
So,
it's scary. You have
to look
stuff.
Down a microscope or use visual equipment to do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, for me, it isn't just the change. It isn't just the new technology. It's the speed. It's the rate. The huge, very quick rate of change. You know, it's getting quicker and quicker and quicker. And sometimes I think, whoa, slow down. You know, maybe we're going too fast here, and we're not kind of thinking about. You're never going to slow it down because innovation is that's how it works, isn't it?
And that's what I was going to say, Paul, as well. Yeah. Is the fact that, and this is to both of you really, because you've got that both in that business area. We were talking about it. The marketplace is not reacting at the same speed as the innovation of it. How do we educate the marketplace?
Well, you could say that, but you've got all the youngsters coming through now. I mean, all the youngsters have iPhones at a very early age. They're very quick at picking up technology much better than we are. You know, it's just coming through generations, through schools, through universities. You know, we didn't have iPhones and iPads when I was a child. There was, you know, you never see a computer at that stage. So
absolutely. I think for me, the question more isn't the people. It's things like our education systems that are lagging behind. And that's not a criticism of education because it's really difficult. I was involved with a university a few years ago, and we developed a new program, Digital Engineering and Arts. And the problem is trying to put together a curriculum for something that moved as quickly as that was almost impossible. We'd set the curriculum and then they changed the software 3 weeks later and everybody would go, cool, that's a bit old hat. You know, can't you do something new? So I think it's infrastructure things that suffer. Things like the education system really can't keep up with the pace of change. Luckily, youngsters kind of do it on their own anyway. They kind of pick it up and adapt to it.
I do wonder whether there's been a bit of a gap. Like Tom was saying earlier about you've got the older generation that were very engineering focused. We had a really strong manufacturing base. And we've got the youngsters now that are being, with all the programs that are involved, there's a lot more promotion trying to get people into engineering. Mm. And I do wonder whether there was a slight gap between the two.
I think you're absolutely
that's
right.
That's left us with, you know, maybe people of my generation that generally don't have the same understanding of.
I think you're absolutely right. I think you're absolutely spot on. I think we went through a little period when people forgot about engineering and manufacturing.
Yeah, they forgot about apprenticeships for a while, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly. And they got excited about other stuff and kind of moved away from it. And I think one of the beauties is, of course, I mean, if you look now, and I'm not going to get into the politics of this, but my youngest son, for instance, just completed his degree in theatre and film management. He's actually working as a foreign exchange broker, but that's neither here nor there. But basically, that kind of media business actually can incorporate engineering and design and manufacturing, because some of the things you can do for filmmaking now is unbelievable. You know, we talk about 3D printing and we're talking about dinosaurs. The kind of animatronics that they make in movie production is pure engineering and design and manufacturing, isn't it? Yeah. So I think you're starting to see the technologies come back together. And I'm hoping that that's going to encourage more people, and with the advent of apprenticeships, to go back into manufacturing and engineering, because it's exciting. There's some really exciting stuff you can do there. Listen, guys, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. Darren, give us a shout for your websites, your Twitter handles, or anything you want to tell us about that people can find out about. GT40 replicas, whatever. I might come and talk to you about that as well.
We're www.equinox3dengineering.co.uk, and it's at Equinox3D on Twitter. Cool. The GT40 side of things is www.gt40.com.
Oh, I got what you've done there. I like it. 40 with an E. Yeah.
I just want to mention, Paul, we're also at the biggest medical exhibition in Germany next Monday.
Okay.
It's called Medica at Düsseldorf.
Right.
We're in Hall 3, a Stand H20.
Fantastic. Get along, Düsseldorf. Hall 3, Stand H20. Go and see the guys from ITL if you happen to be passing through Düsseldorf next week and fancy some medical devices. Good. Check it out. Darren, Tom, thank you very much for that fascinating discussion about manufacturing, engineering, and that good stuff. I believe, and you guys will put me right here, I think we're the world's seventh largest manufacturing nation or something like that.
About seventh. Yeah, we are.
And growing. And growing. A lot of people don't realise that, and it's something that we ought to be incredibly proud of. We have a massive history in engineering and manufacturing in this country, right back from the early Victorian era onwards, and we've got
it will always be with us. We're the best manufacturers in the world, so we need to be proud of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of motorsport, you can't win a Formula One Grand Prix if you're not based in the UK.
Absolutely, absolutely. Even Ferrari have stuff made here, don't they? Absolutely right. And we quite often overlook that. Thank you, chaps. We've still got loads of tweets coming in. A couple that I need to read out. Holcomb Health Clinic, my folks over there, over in Rochester, and they say, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, please may we have a shout out for our physiotherapy, sports therapy, reflexology and nutrition clinic in Rochester. And you can follow them on the Twitter at Holcomb Health. And JR Car Parts, I haven't heard of JR for a while.
No.
JR have been on, and they say, hi Vanilla Web, we are exhibiting, you've obviously tricked them into mentioning this, Tom, we're exhibiting at Mechanics today and tomorrow, Sandown Park. Can you give us a shout out, please? We're on stand D2, trade show for the motor trade. So that's Mechanics, that's McCann with an EX at the end. That's how they think up these names, I'll never know. Mechanics, and it's at Sandown Park. That's the horse racing course, isn't it? Sandown Park.
Yeah.
Surrey Way. Surrey Way, isn't it? I think Sandown. And they're there on stand D2, so do check them out. Or follow them on the Twitter, JR Car Parts.
Well, I've got a new point of the show now. You won't believe this. We're getting so many comments on Facebook Lives.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I just want to mention them. We've got a shout-out from Sarah Thomas. Hey, Sarah Thomas. She's from Made by Plum. She's a jeweller, and she's just saying, loves the inspiration that's coming through. And Benta Rayfield has said, hi, Sarah. This is incredible and so exciting. Fantastic subject. Just love the innovation. And she agrees with you about the way that manufacturing's going. So it's great to have this new medium that everybody's watching you on Facebook Live as well. So thanks, everybody.
And it's also good that people not from manufacturing engineering have found it interesting and informative, and that's really good.
Yeah.
Cool. I've got some more tweets. Oh, blimey. People trying to ring me on my mobile now.
Oh, that's so amazing.
Don't they know? Can't do that. I've had Stephen Connor, who's tweeted in, and he says, "Hi, Vanilla Web, I've set up a new Twitter account." Oh, well done, Stephen. And it's, hold on, I'm going to read. It is Flat to Factory. That's Flat, F-L-A-T, the number two, Factory, V-O. And it's a new business, Flat to Factory Limited. That's not easy to say, you know. And they're a supply voltage optimization company.
Oh, well.
Well, you guys probably know what that means.
I have no idea.
Yeah, I was
going to say, I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah. It sounds good. Supply voltage optimization.
Tom, Darren?
No, pass on.
Wing it, guys. Wing it.
Yeah, of course.
Phone them on the spot.
Yeah. We've had a tweet from Business in Maidstone. Business Bunker, we have a free networking event next Monday and workshops on Friday at the Business Terrace with the Kemp Foundation. Can we have a shout-out, please? Of course you can.
There you go. How are you doing for emails? I've got still loads. It's just
crazy. I've got loads, but we also need to get onto the FSB. I've had a tweet from The Stag.
Who's that?
It's a theatre in Sevenoaks.
Okay.
You were worried there for a minute, weren't you?
Well, it could have been anything. No, I just thought it was I was like, where is this going?
An animal with antlers. Yeah. It's the Stag Theatre in Sevenoaks, and their Twitter handle is Stag Sevenoaks. And they say, we love local business here at Stag Sevenoaks, and we give support wherever we can. Could we have a shout-out on the Business Bunker? Of course you can.
Exactly.
And consider yourself shouted out. And also we've had Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters. That's not easy to say.
They're on every week.
They're on every week, and I make the same joke every week.
Exactly.
So, yeah, sorry about that. Riverfield underscore Kent, they supply organic veg boxes and other products direct to your door anywhere in Kent. Good. You can read one more thing.
One more thing, right, yeah. Very, very quick one, is make standout social media video with a smartphone or DSLR. Learn industry techniques from a commercial TV producer to create a video for websites and social media. One-day workshops in Canterbury, Spitfire Ground, and that's on Thursday the 25th of November. And go on to Eventbrite, so that'd be Smartphone Film School. Just check it out on Eventbrite.
Fantastic. We've had a tweet from Laura Burton Lawrence. Fantastic show so far. Really enjoyed listening to your guests. Thank you for that. And we've also had the tweet, a regular tweet from Venom Tech.
Yeah.
The guys over there at Discovery Park in Sandwich who milk. Steve will punch me for saying this. They extract toxins and venoms from spiders and snakes and other things for drug research purposes. Really interesting company. And I've got to do my bit about Steve, haven't I?
Yeah, really. I think he's cool.
Dr. Steve Trim, who's the managing director of Venom Tech. And he's a leading member of an organisation called Scientists with Luscious Hair.
Every week.
Every week I have to do that. It just tickles me. It really does. It's because I'm jealous. It's because I don't have any hair, really.
It's two things that we always chuckle about. That and Lord Kitchener. Every week I laugh. I know. And I don't know why.
It's sad, isn't it, really, that we can't think of anything better to do.
No, I think it's great.
Yeah. Do you know what we're going to do now?
Let's do it.
We're going to have our regular FSB News Roundup.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's a point in the show where we bring to you the Federation of Small Business news, events and interesting information. The FSB have an autism and employment, and the National Autistic Society has launched a new campaign offering free information and tips to businesses of all sizes on employing autistic people and how you can champion their talent. The NAS research indicates that just 16% of autistic people are in full-time work, and this has stagnated over the last decade. With understanding from their employers and colleagues, as well as reasonable adjustments to the interview process and the workplace, many autistic people can be a real asset to business. You can find out more about this by going to www.autism.org.uk/employers.
And just to let you know on that, I'm running for them for the London Marathon as well next year.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
I just want to say it's interesting about what they were saying about the interview process as well, because it's absolutely true. At the event we did on Monday, I happened to make reference to someone. I won't tell you the name because I didn't want it known. But someone I know that runs a business locally has very severe Asperger's syndrome. And I happened to mention that, and somebody went, "Oh, my God." And I went, "What?" And they said, I rang them to use their services, and I really didn't like the way the person answered the phone, so I went tonto on Twitter saying how bad they were. I really didn't realise they had Asperger's.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's an easy mistake to make. There's no reason why you should know.
Yeah.
And maybe that company needs to handle things in a slightly different way if they know they've got that problem. But it just shows you. We need to be aware.
Use to their skills, because, I mean, my Jack is one of the most amazing people. I am blessed to know he's my greatest teacher. So, yeah, definitely. Yeah,
absolutely. Cool.
Okay, are you ready for the 12-sided £1 coin, Mr. Andrews? Are you ready?
Yeah.
So there's a new
It's a large frutney bit is what they've got, yeah.
Can I just say, I love the £5 notes. I get really excited about
it. The plastic ones?
Yeah.
Have you ironed one yet?
No.
They shrink.
Why would you?
They shrink.
You tried it?
No, no. No, they do. They shrink.
So are you ready for the 12-sided £1 coin? A new website has been set up by the Royal Mint to raise awareness of the 12-sided £1 coin that is being introduced in March 2016, it says here. I don't think so.
No, it's 2017.
Yeah, as it may be compatible with your, it won't be compatible with your payment system. Do you want to have a rant now? Because you always love ranting.
I always rant about this. Yeah, it's a new. There are people, there are engineers out there that have made their devices already suitable for it. But it's another one of these government things where they change things and then it has a massive knock-on effect on everything. And all it does is it creates inflation because it creates a price hike that everybody has to re-engineer their slot machines or whatever to take a new coin.
So go onto the website. It's thenewpoundcoin.com.
Yeah, although to be fair, as things progress, it's something that we can solve easier and easier. Back in the day when everything was mechanical, years ago when I worked in banking, I worked for a bank that introduced the first ATMs. And the original ATMs were completely mechanical. And we had this problem where what happens is when you put the card in, it was a vacuum that drew the card in, then read it over a card reader. It would then count, you type in how much money you want. It would count the money and drop it on a tray. And when you pressed enter, it would feed the money out to you. If you cancelled the transaction, it would drop the money into the bottom of the ATM machine. And people used to feed those tomato sauce sachets into the machine. And, of course, it would suck it in, squidge it, and cover every £50,000 worth of notes in ketchup. So every Monday morning, we used to have to go around and wash the notes, which is why I'm keen on ironing £5 notes. Anyway, enough of that. The FSB have produced a report on how the new apprenticeship funding will work. In spring 2017, the way the government funds apprenticeships in England is changing. Some employers will be required to contribute to a new apprenticeship levy, and there will be changes to the funding for apprenticeship training for employers. We are introducing the apprenticeship levy on the 6th of April 2017. The levy requires all employers operating in the UK with a payroll bill of over £3 million a year to invest in apprenticeships. The guidance provides information on how the apprentice levy will work. It also explains the principles that apprenticeship funding will operate on as of the 1st of May 2017. You can read the full article here at www.apprenticeships4, that's the number 4, apprenticeships4england.info.
Mentoring Day. FSB welcomed National Mentoring Day, so paying tribute to the work of small business owners in providing mentoring and support, which is crucial to the success of the new businesses. The campaign aims to make every person in the UK aware of how to access a mentor by 2020 and enable the UK to be the global leader in mentoring. I cannot emphasise enough how mentoring and coaching and to have a coach is vital to you and your growth.
Absolutely. There's a record number of SMEs. The number of small businesses in the UK has grown to a phenomenal 5.5 million. The business population estimates show that at the start of 2016, the UK had 1 million more small businesses, 4,000 more medium-sized businesses and 900 more large businesses compared to 2010. That's an increase of 23% and growing.
New government funding competition to develop new technologies. Businesses can apply for a share of £15 million to develop technologies to stimulate future products, services and industries invested by Innovate UK. Projects are expected to range from total costs of £35,000 to £2 million. So you can go and check them out. Any queries, please contact Charlotte Chung on charlotte.chung@fsb.org.uk.
Fantastic. And we're just going to finish up with a roundup of local events. All of these can be found on the Kent Business Radio website under the FSB tab, and you could book your places there. There are links to all of them on there. So I'm not going to read out all the links. That'll take too long. But on the 18th of November, it's Small Business Saturday Local Breakfast. That's taking place with Tunbridge MP Tom Tuggenhat and the leader of the council, Nicholas Hestock, and that's taking place at the old fire station in Tunbridge. On the 24th of November, there's the FSB regional meeting plus 6 steps to growing your business in a digital age, and that's taking place at the Medway University Technical College in Chatham. On the 29th of November, Women in Business Brunch with guest speaker Lynn Parker. She's from Funny Women. And that's at Base Point Dartford. On the 30th of November, social media strategy to enhance your business. That's taking place with the gorgeous Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media. And that's happening on Romney Marsh, would you believe?
Yeah, she's got a new hub down there, hasn't she?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah, teaching the sheep to tweet.
Exciting.
Absolutely. We can have llama fun, can we?
You've been waiting to say that, haven't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I haven't heard you say that before.
Yeah, yeah. On the 30th of November is the Grow Kent Conference, which we talked about earlier. And then on the 5th of December is Save the Date for Women in Business Christmas Drinks.
Hurrah.
Blimey, I'd avoid that if I were you. On the 3rd of December, though, is the Small Business Saturday Shop Local. And that's the annual Small Business Saturday event. And this year it's on the 3rd of December. And on the 7th of December is FSB Networking, the Secret Pantry in Tenterton. Includes a business card draw for a box of festive ciders and juices. So do get along to that. So that's the FSB events due to take place over the next 2 months. And I think that brings us to the end of our FSB roundup.
Channel Radio. Channel Radio. Channel Radio News Update.
That just leads me to tell you what's coming up later on Channel Radio today. at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, in his stripery socks with his celebrity interview show. That's from 5 till 7. And then at 7 o'clock, we have.
Welcome on to the New Potato Show.
18 tracks of new, unsigned, up and coming music on the New Potato Show from 7 till 9. And then we have at 9 o'clock.
It's my favourite.
It's your favourite.
I love him. Why is it so funny?
It's Lord Kitchen. I was Lord Kitchener's valet. We have no idea if
1967.
It's funny. Yeah.
Any reason why?
Yeah. It's a comedy show about 1967. We have no idea why.
No idea, but we love it.
It's everywhere. Yeah, yeah. And it's apparently it's really hilarious. And then, of course, as always on a Tuesday night, we finish off tonight on Channel Radio with.
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
Cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, as always, we finish off at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock with Boy George and the Club Culture Show here on Channel Radio. But we've kind of reached the end of another show. I'd just like to say a massive thank you to today's co-host, the lovely bird, Sarah Ann Lucas.
Thank you.
Today's show sponsor, Telcare, the telecoms company over there in Medway City Estates. A special big thank you to our two guests, Mr. Tom Cole, Chief Executive of ITL.
Thank you, Paul.
And Mr. Darren George, Engineer Extraordinaire from Equinox 3D. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been a fascinating program, and we really, really do appreciate hearing from you guys about the fantastic work that you're doing. As always, we'll be back with you next week with another Business Bunker show. Keep the tweets coming. Keep the emails coming. Have a fabulous week, and we'll see you all again soon. Oh, and don't forget to listen to tomorrow's show.
Oh, yes. That's an amazing show. I have Sharon Lynn, publisher, local publisher. So, yeah, that's the conversation tomorrow on channelradio.co.uk at 1 till 2. So listen in.
Absolutely. Listen to the bird and the conversation tomorrow. But sadly, that's it for this week. We'll be back with you next week. Have a brilliant week.
Have an amazing week.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.